We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to the Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
What's up with him? What's up with this guy? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. How are you? Good to be with you on this fine, fine day. It's fine day. It's a Monday, November 17th, at the time of this podcast extravaganza. Although the wonderful thing about podcasting is that you can listen to it at any time of day, on any day that you wish. It's always available to you. It's like on demand, man. And that's kind of cool. And I enjoy that facet of doing this more than I enjoy this facet of not doing this. Good morning to you. As I do this podocast, which again is the Irish version of a podcast, would be Podocast. It's raining very heavily here. Fortunately, it's only rain and not snow because for some reason there's some kind of air current weather pattern dip going on where the air current is bringing cold air from Canada. Why does Canada always have cold air? Why can't any warm air come from Canada? What's up with that? Why would anybody live in Canada where all the cold air is? I don't understand. What's the point of living up there? They're fine people, eh? It's just that it's kind of cold up there, and I don't understand the point of a whole country being up there. Can't they move it somewhere else? What are all you people doing up there so close to the coldness? Closer to the coldness up there. What are you doing up there? Why would an entire country decide to put itself together like that? If I were Canada, I'd have war with the United States and try to take some of their states away from them because it's just too cold in Canada. I don't know why they put up with that crap. It's because they don't have an army. The only army they have, I think they have the mounted police or something, or the mounted army. They do everything on horses. I mean, buy a car, my God. I mean, Seriously, buy a car or a donkey or something, but don't have your entire military force on a horse. What if the horse has gas or is off its feed bag for some reason? You just have to cancel everything. Whole country up there, though. Whole big thing. And Canada wants to divide itself and become, the Montreal's up there. The French Canada wants to become their own Canada. I think, I don't know. Why not? But I'd move as well. I'd say, all right, we're going to be the new Canada, and we're going to be located now in South America. Anyway, there's this cold dip going on, and Alaska, Alaska. That is so funny. Alaska is actually warmer than New England is. What? Did you tell that to the caribou? It's crazy, man. That's what air currents can do. So it's like freaking cold, and it's only the middle of November. And sometimes, I remember in previous years and other years, which means previous years, that I'd have to put on the air conditioner in my car close to Christmas. I know. Do you remember that? I know. I do remember that. So do you. Because this is just nuts, man. Nuts, man. I'm the nuts, man. So temperatures this week are only going to be in the 30s. Today on Monday, we're going to like get up to 50, but it's raining outside. So like, so what? So it's like 50 degrees. Like, well, like, what am I going to do with it? I mean, I can't stand outside and go, ooh, 50, because it's raining like very torrentially and the winds are going to be really high and they're going to blow your socks off and all that, you know, stuff. Make sure all your stuff is secure because the wind gusts could be up to 50 miles an hour. Whoa, that's really fast. That's a fast gust. It's disgusting. So today's going to be a weird, wacky day, warm, but you don't want to be outside on this day. And then when you do want to be outside tomorrow, all the way through the weekend, it's going to be like just in the 30s with wind chills like in the 20s. That's cold for this time of year. So we may be in for quite a long winter in the New England area. Now, I realize that this is a podcast. I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid as you look. I realize that not everybody that listens to this program lives in New England. I know that. I'm not that, whatever. I'm just talking about New England. Although it's cold in Chicago, it's cold in the Midwest, it's cold everywhere but Alaska, I suppose. Alaska is the only place it's not cold. And Canada. Anyway, how you doing? I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's what I call the show. Hey, did you hear about the Panama Canal? Yeah. Panama Canal. Interesting stuff, because I had mentioned South America for like 2 seconds, and all of a sudden, my stream of consciousness started flowing into South America, because that's how fucked up I can be. The Panama Canal, sponsored by the Panamanians. As you know, if you wanted to take a floating craft, such as a ship, and go from California to New York, or something like that, how would you get there? You can't go north, because you can't sail around the United States going north, because Canada's there. There's Canada again. If you go south, in the Pacific, you have to go all the way down, we call it down, all the way south, around the tip of South America, and then up to New York, which would take you like 5 billion years, and a lot of gas, and a lot of time, and a lot of sweat. So somebody gets it in their mind, and rightly so, that, excuse me, please, we have to do something about the middle of the globe here, so that ships can, like, you know, get to the other side. And Panama is a very skinny country. It's taken a lot of weight off. So they decided to do the Panama Canal, which means they actually cut a slit in Panama. And they put a man-made canal in, and boats and crap like that, and swimmers, and go through the canal. However, here's the catch. It's not free. To go through the Panama Canal for shipping purposes, for example, large passenger cruise ships, $20,000 to get through the Panama Canal. $20,000. That's one hell of a toll, man. Can you imagine being on the turnpike and you go through a toll booth? All right, hey, good morning, top of the morning to you. That'll be $20,000, please. What? But I have Easy Pass. No, $20,000. I know. If you're like a barge or some type of a large shipping vessel, you know, it can be up to $30,000 to get through. If you're a pleasure craft, like a little yacht or a little pleasure boat or something like that, you know, like a personal little boat, that's like $2,000. That's a lot of money though, man. But, so like, Panama is just like raping the shipping industry, I'm just saying. And Panama claims, as if an entire country could talk, Panama claims that the charges have to be so high because they have to maintain the man-made canal and it takes a lot of maintenance. Let me tell you something. You call in a cleaning crew, like Jack's cleaning company, and like you can like clean the canal like for like maybe $130 a month. I don't know what maintenance would be done on a Panama Canal. I guess there's doors that open up and let water in, and that must cost money here and there. But I think they got enough with what they charge to get through the Panama Canal. It's almost as much as they charge to get into Disney World. Almost. Not quite. But almost. Panama's just raping it, baby. Panama kind of knows that, hey, you know, we don't have a lot of industry here except for those stupid Panama hats, which can be duplicated anywhere. So our thing is the canal. I mean, we built the freaking thing. Actually, they had it built with the help of the United States. Kind of think that Dick Cheney is getting a little something from this. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens with the Banana Republics. Is that the name of a store, by the way? I think it is. I don't shop at those stores. I go to, like, department stores. I don't do the little boutique-y things, like the, what they call it, the Gap, which I always thought was a dentistry office, a dentistry chain. Problems with your teeth? A lot of cavities? Teeth yellow? Make an appointment at the Gap. That's what I thought the Gap was, but I understands. What am I, Popeye? I understands that the Gap is a clothing place and jeans and stuff like that. Who knew? And I guess Banana Republic also. If I were opening up a pants store, I would call it Pants and More, or call it Just Pants, or How Do You Like My Pants, or Pants, 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 or The World of Pants, or Pants World. I just like get right to the point. I'll fool around with like Gap, Banana Republic. What do you do? What do you make, bananas? What is that, where I get like wholesale bananas in the Banana Republic? Just like Gap is where I get my teeth fixed. I don't understand these stores. Ever go to Kohl's? K-O-H-L. I always thought it was C-O-L-E, but it's not. It's Kohl, K-H. Kohl's. I guess there's somebody named Kohl. I don't know. Do you ever go to Bob's? I think some guy named Bob's opened it up. I've talked about this before. I find it really stupidly funny. This Bob's Discount Furniture. Not a bad place. I always question how much when someone uses the term discount furniture or discount in the name of their thing, I always question like how much of a discount we're really talking about here. I mean, it's just not true. But I'm thinking like Bob's. They tried to be as American apple pie, middle of the road, pedestrian as possible. And when you're thinking of the most pedestrian name in the world, it's got to be Bob. Bob comes in, I guess, just above Joe. Those two are like names of people. And if your name is Joe or Bob, I apologize for this segment of the program. They're just like the simplest names anybody could come up with. Joe is like, you know, average Joe, Box of Joe. Yeah, he's a Joe, G.I. Joe. Bob is just, it's so simple that you could spell it backwards and it's still Bob. I mean, it's just, it's even a verb. I mean, it's just, anyway, leave those guys alone for now. Here's an interesting story, and I'm going to take the wrong side of it. Here we go. There was a New Orleans Saints football game yesterday. I don't know who they were playing because I don't care. And I guess one of the New Orleans Saints football players, of which they have, scored a touchdown. And the player took the ball and threw it up into the stands. And seated in the first row of the stands in the end zone was a lady. Looked like she was like 30, 35, maybe even 40. Attractive woman, and she's wearing a football jersey, and she's standing next to a guy. I don't think they were related or even knew each other. That's just who happened to be in the next seat. And the guy was a fairly hefty muscular man. And the ball comes flying through the air after being tossed into the stands to celebrate the touchdown. And the guy with the muscles goes for the ball and muscles the woman out of the way in order to catch the ball. And then he sits down and keeps the ball. And the woman is like putting her arms up, like going, "What fuck? What fuck? What fuck happened? What the fuck? What? And this became a big news story where this quote unquote schmucky man muscles the woman out of the way to catch and keep the ball. And actually, the team sees this on the Jumbotron, and they run over and they give this woman a ball as well, and she's very thankful and she sits down. But this guy that muscled his way to catch the ball apparently is this incredible asshole now. And you know what? I've watched that thing over and over again because they show it over and over again. And I'm saying to myself, what's wrong with what happened there? A ball is tossed into the stands, and the guy muscled and kept the ball. Here's what bothers me about this, and I know I'm going to catch hell for this a little bit, if it matters at all. Here's what bothers me, is that, like, there's a man and there's a woman. Does a woman always have to win out because she's a woman? Is that right? Is that as sexist as it gets? A guy is more muscular. A football guy, here we go, I'm going to insult people again. A football guy tends to be a bit more mindless than a regular guy. And I make the distinction between the two. And by instinct, a muscular football guy will catch the football. That's in his genes. It's in his Gap genes. That's what guys do. When a ball is coming at them, their nature and their instinct is to catch the ball at any cost. I'm surprised the guy didn't like jump out of the stands to catch the ball in midair and fall out of the stands, because this is what guys do. This is how they're genetically structured. I can't blame him for being a football guy. It's a football stadium. He's a guy. He went to catch the football that was tossed in his direction. It's like if you're sitting at a baseball game and a baseball comes at you, some people are actually wearing baseball mitts just in case a foul ball comes their way, and you finagle to catch it. Now here's the difference, man. If this guy had caught the football after muscling the woman out of the way, if this woman was a 10-year-old girl, I would say, oh, that's wrong. It's just a kid. The kid, give the kid the football. The kid, you know, and it doesn't have to be a fair contest where the 10-year-old kid could never catch the football compared to the big guy with the muscles. To me, that has nothing to do with it. If you're a little kid or you're a woman and you can't catch a football, then you're not going to have the football. I mean, okay. That's okay to me. But if it's a little kid who is just their entire, you know, to them it's an excitement, it's a fantasy, it's a child. It's not because of their inability to catch the football, it's because they're a kid. And it would make them so damn happy over you. I don't think that a woman getting a football makes them so damn happy over a man. As a matter of fact, I think the man would be damn happier to keep the football than the woman would be. But I don't know that. It could be a female football fanatic. I really don't know. But if it's both adults of different sexes, whoever catches the ball gets the ball. If the guy is more muscular than her and like bumps her out of the way a little bit, so be it, man. And so be it. He keeps the football. That guy's going to relish that football far more than that woman is, I have a feeling, if he was so gung-ho to catch the damn thing. So again, if it was a child, I would say, that's a nasty man. Give the ball to the child. And they usually do. They would hand it to the child, and that would be the chivalrous thing to do. But chivalry in a man and female thing, I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it. Women should not win out simply because they're women. They should not. What is this all about, man? Now, if I'm on a train, on a subway, not that I go on subways because it is too pedestrian for me, but if I'm on a subway, let's make believe I'm on a subway. Let's just make believe, because it ain't going to happen in real life. Let's make believe. And there are no seats, and I'm seated. And a woman gets on the train. I don't care if she's ugly or pretty or pregnant or not. And she's standing there, and I'm sitting. I will get up and give her my seat, because that's chivalry. What if I were sitting there with my groceries, would I see a woman and say, oh my God, you're a woman, please take my groceries? No, I wouldn't do that. Who would? Well, it's the same thing with a football. Hi, I just caught this football at the game. I see you don't have a football. Take my football. I mean, seriously, man, that's not the way that works. Just because it's a, and she wasn't like handicapped. She had all her limbs. She couldn't have caught the ball because he was more muscular than her. That means that muscular guys will never be able to keep anything because it's always unfair. Mr. Johnson, we're going to hire you as vice president of the company. Well, thank you very much. And who else was in the running? Marianne Clockworthy was also in the running. She's seated over there. You mean a girl didn't get the job and I did? That's right. You know what? Give the job to the girl because she's a girl. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So to me, everybody that's saying, oh, the guy muscled his way and caught the football, I say, fine. What's the problem? First of all, it's just a freaking football. And secondly, so what? So that's a female and that's a male. Whoever catches a football. I mean, seriously. Just stop it. Just cut it out. Bothers me.
Don't think much has changed since the last disaster struck.
Let's break it down. By the way, that's Carmen and Camille from Canada. Very talented, very attractive duo. And they are girls, and they should get all the footballs. I'm going to talk about a problem that I'm having with a certain company. And I think I can do this because it's true. And it's so true that they actually called me yesterday to apologize. I, for a very short period of time, have subscribed to the Enterprise. Some people call it the Brockton Enterprise, although, and Brockton is a city in the area from which I podcast. The newspaper actually gets insulted when you call them the Brockton Enterprise because it limits their distribution mentally. They are the Enterprise. It's a newspaper for the South Shore of Massachusetts. And when I started doing this podcasting thing in July, I found it necessary to know what's going on in my area, although this podcast is not a local podcast. Prior to that, when I was doing the broadcast radio, which I call Radio in Your Car, there was a news department, and I didn't do news. I would simply listen to the news people on my radio station. And I would just, that was how I knew things. And then I would talk to the news directors at these radio stations that I worked at, and they would give me the lowdown on stuff. and I would be informed. I didn't need no freaking newspaper. And there were also newspapers at all of these facilities anyway. But when I started doing the POD cast, I had to, I just wanted to be, I don't know why. It was something like $2 a week to get the Enterprise daily. That would be Monday through Saturday and also the Sunday paper. The Sunday paper costs the most. The daily papers, you wipe your ass with them, they cost basically nothing. So it's $2 and change per week. And I'm saying to myself, hell, I got that. I got $2 and change per week. I got that in my pants. I got that in my sock drawer. So I subscribe to the Enterprise. And I say, when it's set up, and it's called Gatehouse Media, by the way. They don't even want to be called the Enterprise. It's Gatehouse Media. I don't know where this gatehouse is, but whatever. And it's fine and wonderful and dandy. And I don't mind the paper. I know the people there, a lot of people who work there, and they're good people. They're really good people. And they try very, very hard. It's like anything else. In my estimation, they don't have enough people to get the job done. But, you know, that has nothing to do with me, and that's my opinion. Anyway, so I'm going to get in the paper. And I say to them, please deliver the paper to my front porch. Now, I have a porch at the front door of my house, and I have a very long driveway. And I said, please, on the porch. And I get the Boston Globe. And I've been getting that for like years and years and years and years and years. And they put it on the front porch, and I tip them accordingly. And they understand English, which is, you know, nice. From day one, this Enterprise would put it at the end of the driveway. And if it rained or anything like that, it would be a soaking wet paper. And also, I have to walk like 3 miles to the end of my driveway. So, yeah. So I just gave up at a point. I figured, all right, you're going to deliver it where you're going to, at least it's on my property somewhere. At least it's at the right house. So I gave up on that. Recently, I just reviewed everything, and I realized I don't need their paper anymore. I don't want their paper, and I'm kind of sick of having to fetch the paper every day, even though the exercise is good for me to walk to the end of the driveway. But I call them up exactly 2.5 weeks ago from the date of this podcast, and I say to them, I don't want the daily paper anymore. I don't want your newspaper anymore. And the nice girl who answers the phone in customer service, who, by the way, probably doesn't have a football, she says, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is this something we're doing wrong? And I said, yeah, kind of the location of delivery, but I don't even care about that anymore. I don't want the paper anymore. If you could just stop it, I'd appreciate it. And she says, well, how about just getting Sunday? See, this is what they do. And you know what? I own a company too. Actually, I own a couple of them. And I get it. You know, you're supposed to see what you can do to keep the business. So I said, okay, all right, look, I'll continue to get the Sunday paper, but cancel Monday through Saturday. She says, okay, thank you, Mr. Van Dam. We'll make that change immediately. I say, thank you very much. That was 2.5 weeks ago. All the way through this past Saturday for 2 weeks and about 2 weeks and 5 days, I'm still getting the daily paper at the end of my driveway. And I know, it's like amazing. It is amazing. So I call like every week or every 5 days, and I call to say, you know, I canceled the paper. I don't want it, yet you continue to deliver it. Is there some like communication problem between your office and the paper carriers or whatever? And I go, we apologize, Mr. Van Dam. The paper will be stopped immediately. And the next day, there's the paper again. And I'm thinking to myself, and it's to myself, although I'm verbalizing at this point, what a bunch of morons. I mean, I call every 5 days. It's not like I called once and then say anything about it. Every 5 days I call up and I say, you sure I'm not being charged? Because I'm still getting the paper. And she says, I apologize, Mr. Van Dam. I understand. I can see that you called a long time ago. And I don't understand why you're still getting it. I said, I'm not being charged. She says, no, you're not being charged. So I said, listen, I don't want any paper at all. I don't want Sunday. I don't want Monday through Saturday. I want nothing coming to my house from Gatehouse Media. I actually said that. I said, I want nothing from Gatehouse Media coming to my house at all. And this was about 7 days ago. And they said, okay, Mr. Van Dam, we'll stop immediately. We do apologize for making having you call all the time. Really, we see that you're calling on a regular basis. I'm surprised that you're still getting paper. You know, it's $2 and some change per week. It's not like the end of the world, but it just bothers me. It bothers me that people just don't understand stuff. So I said, okay, Mr. Van Dam, we'll take care of it. It's 5 days ago. You'll stop getting paper immediately. Next day, there's the paper in the driveway again, like old faithful. It's just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, y'all have the paper whether you want it or not. I'm not getting charged for it. Now I'm getting harassment. It's like somebody's toilet papering my house. Like, you're putting something on your property that I don't want. Would you stop it? And then now it's frustrating me that they just can't figure out how to stop this paper from coming to me. So I'm not saying that it's what you should do is order the paper and then cancel it and you'll get the paper for free for the rest of your life. I don't know if they'll happen to you, but it's happening to me. So it's Sunday yesterday. Last night, Sunday night, at about 7 o'clock at night, I'm getting a phone call. Now, no one calls me at 7 o'clock at night on a Sunday unless it's a family member saying hello or something horrible has happened. But this is like, it's Gatehouse Media. It's 7 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. Wow. It's not enough that they're harassing me with papers. Now they're calling me at Sunday night. I pick up the phone and said, yeah. I said, Mr. Van Dam, we understand that you've canceled the paper. Yes, that's a good understanding I have. And I said, as a matter of fact, I just got the paper again today, and I got the daily paper on Saturday. And he said, I don't understand how that. I said, yeah, I want to make sure I'm not being charged, and I don't want your paper here. And then they said, well, you know, we could give you a deal if you want to continue. I said, no, you're not understanding. I don't want to continue. And then I said the magic words, which really ended the conversation. And the magic words were, I want nothing from your company on my property. Ron, that is so nasty. It's true. I want nothing from your company on my property because you don't understand. Well, I didn't say this part, but that's what I said. And it was a guy, and it sounded like a supervisor. Who else would call me on a Sunday evening at 7 o'clock from a company? And he said, okay, Mr. Van Dam, we are sorry. We apologize for the inconvenience, and we apologize profusely. And I said, well, unless I can have sex with your wife, and I don't even know what she looks like, maybe I don't even want that. I mean, you're forcing the paper upon me. If you'd like to force your wife upon me, I mean, we can give it a shot, but I'm probably going to cancel her. That's a joke. I don't want to have sex with his wife. I don't know, even if he's married. Or, you know, it might be a problem. And then there's complications. And then, you know. Anyway, so that's the story. So it's Monday now. It's raining outside like cats and dogs. And I have no idea what that expression means. If it's raining heavily for some reason, animals start to become part of the equation. If it's raining really hard, is it raining camels? And oxen and hippopotamus. I mean, raining cats and dogs. Don't know. I could look it up. I could Google it. But to be honest with you, I don't think you care that much either. It's just an expression, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. What a violent, violent, violent expression that is. I mean, you're throwing me under the bus. I don't think I'd ever do something like that. I would probably accuse you of something you didn't do well before I would throw your body under bus tires and see your like head squished in half. I would sooner just accuse you of something, but whatever. Anyway, I'm very excited, and I'll let you know on tomorrow's podcast if the paper actually appears in my driveway. If it does, I don't know what I'm going to do. What do you call the police? It's a precinct 22nd. Can I help you, please? Yeah. I want to report a newspaper on my property. Excuse me. As a newspaper that keeps showing up on my property, I wanted to report it. Would you come over here and remove it? What are you nuts? That's what would happen. He would just say, "What are you nuts?" like 10,000 times. What are you nuts? What are you nuts? What are you nuts? Here's what I want to do here. I'm 6'3". Yeah, so what's your point? I'm tall. And I constantly have back problems. So, and everybody that I run into, and some people that are very short, like only 5 feet tall, have back problems. As you get older, your discs start to degenerate. Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun to know that when you hit like 30 years old, you start going like backwards already? Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. So, like, what do you do about it? So, I thought it would be kind of interesting, since I am that kind of person, to keep you informed. How do you take care of your back and spine? Like, what happens if it starts, like, degenerating, like, at the age of 30? Like, that kind of sucks. So, let me hook up here with my back and spine specialist here. Good morning, Dr. Good morning. Hillebrand. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good to talk to you. I've been looking forward to talking to you because everybody I know has some form of a back problem. And when you reach the age of 50, you pay for things. And I think that's payback. And they suffer in different forms and different intensities in different places, but it always seems to be the spine and the back. What's up with that?
Well, you know, it is really just so common. It's just part of really the aging process. In fact, really the most common cause for back pain is the degeneration that occurs in the discs that sit between each of the vertebral bones.
Right.
That from age 20 on, they start to dry out, settle down, and the tears in those fibers, even though they might be microscopic and you might not even see it so well on an MRI, you certainly feel it.
Yeah, and I guess, is that what we call like a pinched nerve kind of? Is that the result of that? Is that how it manifests itself into pain? Because sometimes you get pain in a different area, but it's coming from the back.
Well, you know, it's interesting because theoretically it is a pinched nerve in the sense that there are very small fibers of nerves that innervate the disc itself, the outer portions of it.
Uh-huh.
Really, a pinched nerve is usually a term that people use when they have like a sciatica-type problem.
Okay.
It goes down the leg.
Okay.
Or in the arm.
All right. Because I know a lot of people have neck problems as a result of the back, but that's the whole spine, I assume.
Yeah, I think it's the same process in the neck as in the back, usually.
So, in the past, all I knew of was people having surgery and major at that. Is that still the case?
Well, I mean, we're always trying to come up with new and better ways of addressing spine problems. One of the interesting things about the field of spinal care is that we don't have all the answers to all the problems. The truth is that most low back pain problems are usually ones that won't be helped with surgery. And so there's a lot of not good non-operative treatments and other ways to manage those. For a small group of people who have specific types of problems, surgery can be very helpful. But it's really, against the backdrop of how many people actually have back pain and even miss work for it, it's still really a very small number, I think.
How would someone inquire as to, because a lot of people just live with this, and I know a lot of physicians have told my friends that's just part of the aging process, you kind of just need to live with that. I mean, they don't say it in that words, but that's the inference. And I don't know at what point someone would say, I don't want to live with this like that.
Well, I think there's a couple parts to that. One is, there's a lot of things that people can do to prevent and minimize back issues when they arise.
Uh-huh.
The most important, there's a Cochrane group that does these international surveys of all the world's literature on different topics,
uh-huh.
and to look at kind of what the science is behind these things, or the best evidence we have. And for back pain, it's interesting, but the only thing that's ever been shown to really make a person better over the long run who has bouts of low back pain is an aerobic conditioning program performed in a standing position. So getting your heart rate up to more than 60% of your maximum heart rate, and it's usually either walking, if you're old enough that you can get your heart rate that high, just a brisk walk, that works. I always tell people who are somewhat younger, treadmill, elliptical, or Stairmaster. Those three exercises are great. They build up the endurance of your trunk muscles. It's like a physics problem. Your muscles around your spine are supporting your upper body weight on your pelvis.
Uh-huh.
The stronger the muscles are, the less load the spine sees. And conversely, if the muscles are weak, you're debilitated, you're laying around in bed a lot, you stand up and that spine takes all the load and it hurts.
Okay. So, all right. Well, I'm just afraid of dying of a heart attack now because of over-exercising, but okay.
Aerobic exercise in a modest modest program supervised by your physician, if necessary, should be
okay.
safe.
All right. What about heat and cold and that kind of thing? Does that help or not help?
I think that that's very helpful for, again, this is more sort of specific to back strain.
Yeah, there's so many different
what
types.
Most of people
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have a real acute onset of low back pain and it really hurts, icing it down or cold is very helpful right after it happens because it reduces swelling. In the longer term, the real tight spasm-type muscles sometimes can respond to heat.
Okay.
So it's cold early and heat later.
All right. Cold early, heat later, and move your body. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. What about some people take chondroitin and things like that to move the tissue? And is there swelling involved here, what we're talking about? I know there's so many different conditions of the back, but is there swelling involved?
Sometimes there is. The swelling is more when people have like a muscle spasm.
Okay.
It's rare to have actual swelling from, you know, you tear something in the spine and it bleeds and there's swelling or even swelling from local injury, because the spine itself is pretty deep in the back. There's a lot of muscle between
yeah.
your skin and your spine. So to get that swelling to come back, usually it's a reflection of the muscle itself.
All right. But if your tissues are degenerating, like you say, then I guess there's not much you can do about that.
There isn't much. I mean, a lot of that's genetic. It's sort of there's a path to degeneration of discs that starts at age 20 and goes on through your life.
Mm.
But really, I mean, things that you can do with maintaining your trunk strength and good posture,
okay.
those things do make a difference. They have some impact. Hard to prove it scientifically,
yeah.
but we know from experience that that does make a difference.
So can a patient say to their general practitioner, I want to see an orthopedic specialist to discuss this? Is that a good idea?
I think that it's a good idea for the situations where it's been more than a day or two, but maybe it's been a couple weeks, and
yeah.
it's not, you know, because remember, 90% of people will see these problems go away in a couple weeks.
Right.
And so usually the primary care physicians will say,
right.
take some anti-inflammatories,
right.
take it easy, don't lift a lot. And after a couple weeks, if it's not getting better, they absolutely should.
Okay. All right. Is there a website that we can visit to find out more stuff?
So there's a great website at www.orthoinfo.org.
Okay.
It is the informational website for the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. It really has a lot of great information for patients, very much kind of oriented towards patients and what they need to know in terms of why people have back problems, what the anatomic type of issues are and the problems related to it, and also a lot of information about the different ways to be treated, not just surgery, but also all the non-surgical
okay.
treatment options.
I'm going to ask you a controversial question, and you can say, I care to pass on this question, if you wish. A lot of people go to chiropractors, and they go religiously, and they go frequently, and they go expensively. And I guess it depends on the condition, but does chiropractic care enter into this, or is it more of a physical medical situation? Depending on, of course,
No, I'm very supportive of people going and working with chiropractors
okay.
for most of the low back issues that people have. It is one of, a series of non-operative treatment regimens that I always ask patients about if they've tried.
Right.
And certainly if they're looking for other things to do, I will put it on my list of, well, have you tried working with a chiropractor?
Right.
I think that there's some evidence in the literature that for the most common types of low back pain that people have, it can really help.
Okay. I get very nervous when it becomes a weekly regimen, and
right.
it becomes a very expensive
one.
It
should be something that's in a contained period of time, a program. You know, you're going to start here, you're going to end there, the rest
right.
of you're going to do on your own.
Exactly. Beautiful. Well, thank you. Okay, so ask questions, talk to your doctor, and do some exercise, and find out. There are just so many different things that can happen to the spine and the back. Thank you so much for your time today, doctor.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Welcome back to the program. Thank you, Doctor. If I had a chiropractic office, I would call it, I will get back to you. That's what I would call it. Or how about this? I've got your back. That's so good. That's so good. I've got your back. How about payback is a bitch? Have the word bitch on your sign. That would be so awesome. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I am done for today. I am cooked. I am baked. Stick a fork in me. I am done. I have reached the limits of my invitation. It is time for me to put my shoes on, get my coat, and set sail into the sunset. It is time to park my vehicle on your comet. It is time for me to relinquish my pants to your... What? All right. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get the point. I'll remind you that if you wish to hear an excerpt from my new book, myself and John Shanahan have written a miraculous, miraculous book that pretty much is a standard now in the industry. It's called My Bowels Shall Move. It is a cathartic book. It's not actually about moving your bowels. It is about your bowels in your life, you know, your life being your bowels and moving them. It is deep and reaches the bowels of life. It also is actually, it is about moving your bowels, as a matter of fact. That's really all it's about. It's just if you have trouble moving your bowels, we wrote a book about that. And you can hear the audio excerpt from the audiobook version by going to MetroSouthPodcasting.com. There are so many ways to listen to this podcast. I don't know if that's where you're listening to this. But MetroSouthPodcasting.com or RonVandam.com, RonVandam.com. You can do it there and hear that little excerpt. It's fascinating. It will change your life, or it will move your bowels, one thing or the other. If you like this program and you listen to it on a regular basis, please follow us. Well, you know, that's like stalking, but I mean, go to podbean.com. It's ronvandam.podbean.com, I think. And there you can follow us. Just let us know that you do listen to the program. We would appreciate that. And we build our audience that way. And we also, you know, I'm sorry. So have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you the biggest peace you can get. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I wish you peace and goodbye to you. Bye, everybody.
I will be back tomorrow. Please join me.
Come on now.
Everybody, sing along. You know the words. Here we go. Come on, bring it on.